gone one up top. We're gone one up top. All the other formations, they surely have to stop. We're gone one up top. We're gone one up top. Jamie and Jordan, the bullshit never stops.
You're listening to the One Up Top podcast hosted by Jamie and Jordan. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast and all of our social media outlets at One Up Top Podcast.
And a very big welcome to this week's episode of One Up Top. It's a milestone episode of all things. Despite Longford's best attempts, we had a bloody good time on Saturday and we came home with 3 points.
Yeah, a very sobering first half maybe because we were a lot going into the ground. The cold weather and the first half performance probably sobers up, Jay. But look, we came back with 3 points. That's the main thing.
And what week is it?
It's week 19.
No, it's not. It's 20.
Is it?
It's week 20.
Yeah, look, it's week 19.
That's why I said it was a milestone week. Fucking hell.
Right. Anyway, so here we are. As if we meant to know anything about money or accounts. We are joined by former ball striker, bit of a club legend, I'd have to say, and current Drogheda United striker, Dinny Coughlan. Welcome to the One Up Top podcast.
Thanks for having me, lads. Yeah, happy to be here.
Welcome to the dark, cold studio, which we keep lying to people about. We want to thank last week's guest, Christian Magerson, for coming in and giving us the lowdown on how ridiculously injury-prone he's been and just how unlucky he's been. He was absolutely great chat with the lad, and I suppose a lot of people didn't know, you know, his background playing for Liverpool, the Hadji Academy, so it was really good chat. Want to thank our sponsors, as always. That's Grand Cru Beers, New Age Barbers, and Vols Fashions. And so what we do every week is we'll start at the league table. Bowes obviously in fifth place, still 1 point behind Derry. We got a result in the weekend. Derry were beaten, thankfully, by Rovers. I suppose them doing us a favour in many respects. Dinny, your side, Drogheda, you were beaten 1-0 out in Pats.
It was in Drogheda.
Yeah, was in Drogheda,
yeah. Last kick of the game, yeah.
So oh, was it? Was it Lee Desmond that got the goal?
No. Alfie Lewis.
He
was actually very good on the day.
Good little player, isn't he?
Yeah, so, yeah, we were a bit disastrous, but your luck.
You got a bit of stick off the Pats fans about, I seen a tweet saying they were slagging your hair, I mean.
Yeah, I was getting called a few things. Bowes Reject was one of them. A rat. A scumbag. And then someone, yeah, just randomly said, wash your hair for me. And I got a bit of a laugh from all that. I was just like, what the fuck does that mean? I still don't get it. That's what I put up on Twitter. I was like, what's that all? I don't know.
Your haircut does make you look like a bit of a copper.
I know, I've been told that a few times.
If you were driving a Hyundai, you would have said, that's the DS outside. Did you play yourself?
I didn't get on. Same old story at this stage.
Ah, yeah. Say nothing about it.
Yeah.
A couple of results around the leagues even. Sligo drew 1-1 with Waterford. Finn Harps against Dundalk was 2-1. It feels like Finn Harps and Dundalk have just been playing each other every week for the last 2 months.
Yeah, it's a bit grim.
It's Groundhog Day up in Bally Buffet. We'll go on to our game now. As I said, it was Longford away. It was an eagerly anticipated away day for a lot of people. There was a couple of buses went down. There was a big crowd of balls down in Longford, and despite the ticket situations, we had a bloody good time, didn't we?
Yeah, we went down there. We left very early. We stopped off in Edgeworthstown.
Edgeworthstown, yeah.
Fantastic place if anyone's on their way.
The place that the land that time forgot.
As I said, it's Marty McFly Town. We only got back into glory.
We boxed off a couple of pubs in there. The Sportsman Inn, my friend Killian Lynn, who a friend is probably a stretch here. I went to college with him for about a week. Back in there.
Before Hill dropped out.
Before we both dropped out. In 2013, I said, come here. He owns a pub out there. I said, right, we'll go to the Sportsman Inn. They had a spread of sandwiches and all out for us and whatnot. And of course, nobody fucking wanted to eat. And everyone had their dessert for us.
And you're all collecting your 3 points as well, I've seen as well.
I couldn't even pay for a pint in there. Jerry Lynn gave me a pint every time I went to the bar. Just on the match itself, obviously we won 4-1, but the first half was pretty abysmal. And it took some old-fashioned booing to kind of get the players going. Yeah, haven't heard that in fucking years.
Well, no, I was having a bit of a freak or a half-time with proper. So I went into the stadium gargled, and I think after 20 minutes I was stone cold sober what I was seeing on the pitch.
That's how cold it was, honestly.
Yeah, it was cold and you're kind of looking.
Do you have your thermal long johns on there against Pats on Friday, did you?
No, I had the trousers, the jacket, the works, yeah. 6 years on, yeah.
But obviously we went 1-0 down to a Dean Williams goal after Talbot made a couple of really good saves that half.
That, would you say that was a worse performance than the Drogheda game in the first half? I think we got away with it.
Yeah, I thought we were quite poor in the first half. Obviously, you know, we
didn't get out of our box against the bottom of the
table. But we had 4 or 5 chances in the second half and we took them all. I'm sure, as you said, you know, with that Drogheda game, that was probably very unlike Bowes to go up to Drogheda and be 3-0 down at half time, didn't he?
We couldn't believe our luck, really, down at 3-0 up at half time. We just about got away with it in the end.
Did you see much of the game on Saturday, didn't he?
Well, you saw the goals, that was about it. Now,
we were fairly pinned back. We were literally pinned back for the first half. We think that a Longford player went down injured, and what we ended up doing was we ended up having a team huddle, which is strange. I think that could be a Philly McMahon thing.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
They were having a huddle like to say what the fuck was going on.
Yeah, I know something like that against us as well. After the goals, they kind of all ran in together.
Did that against Rovers as well, where the team just get together and like let's start having a chat, you know, instead of people shouting at each other. I suppose that's kind of what you want to see in a team. I suppose they're kind of the standout moment, and he's done it three times this year. It's Tyreek Wilson. If you get a free kick outside there,
you know we're going to score,
you know, like, and he's done it against Dundalk, he's done it against Patsy, hit the bar against Waterford, Ruffin. He scored from it as well. He's gotten the team again. He's got ahead of Anto Breslin last week. Yeah, he did call it, I'll shake your hand now for that one there. Virtual handshake.
just on the half time thing, Dinny, what's it like going into a dressing room with Keith Long and Trevor went, and you haven't performed the first half? Is it grinning or is it just, come on lads, what's going on?
The hairdryer treatment.
I suppose it depends on the performance. Like, Trev would analyse it very well and he'd go straight to the board and say, this is how we're going to win, this is how we're going to change it. But at the same time, you can give a grin if he needs as well. There's been a few of them, but it's more tactical.
I think the last thing I'd want to see after being 3-0 down at half time is Keith Long's angry red face, to be brutally honest.
That's just been constantly red.
There was a couple of what a standout moments. Georgie Kelly, another two goals, the league's top scorer now. I think it's 16 now on the board, and what an amazing season he's had as a striker as well. Didn't you? I remember you got 15 in the season for Bowes before. He's got 16. He's got about, what was it, six games left to go. You know, he's probably going to hit 20.
No, he's been brilliant. What a signing. I mean, he had a slow start, and I know there was a lot of questions about him and stuff, and a lot of abuse as well.
This man over here.
But Keith Long stuck to him now. It's an interesting one. If they had a better backup, would he have been dropped?
I said this a couple of weeks ago. I said if you were on the bench, you would have been swapped. You would have been starting after a couple of weeks, I think. Then you might not see the Georgia Kelly come to fruition.
Possibly, yeah.
But they can't get a game for fucking Drogheda. I don't know what you're saying. He's doing a job.
Georgia's fine. It's just it's a confidence thing for a striker, isn't it? And once he started, he hasn't stopped. So
I think even like the last couple of seasons, nobody's been getting 20 goals a season. You know, goals have been coming from every other player. You know, everyone plays a 10. Everyone plays two in midfield. Goals have come from pretty much everywhere. No one plays two up front anymore, obviously. So it's amazing to see him get 16 goals. Another player on the score sheet was young Jamie Mullins, who's got into the Ireland 19 squad. Took his finish well. He was really good touches out on the left. He came on for Liam Bort, who got injured. And it feels like the last few weeks we've played Coote and Bort, and they're both 50-50. Two lads that have kind of been in and out of the wars the last few weeks. And hopefully Liam Bort's injury isn't too bad. A couple of other things to note. And I just want to look, it doesn't look like they are going down. Longford are going to go down. There's a couple of players in that team. Dean Williams, Arnold Driscoll, Shane Elworthy, right back, pretty good player. Dylan Grimes, apparently he's linked to go.
Name and half a team of a team that's relegated with very few points. Well, apparently you're going off one performance this season.
Sorry, this is a team.
Dean Williams and Rovers, this
is a team that drew with us twice in Daily Mount, by the way. So you
don't know, both fault of our own.
Yeah, I wouldn't be writing them off totally. Young A. Dave and Arnold Driscoll, Dylan Grimes, Shane Elworthy, Dean Williams, pretty decent players. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to see them hanging about the Premier Division next year. I wouldn't be surprised to see any of them up
in people will be picking and choosing what players to take, as they will. Whether they're going to get into a team or they're going to start is a different question.
Would you take Aaron O'Driscoll?
Oh, it's very easy to say yes, but at the end of the day, he's a centre half in a team that's doomed. And I think there's a big difference you're making. No, you're making a step from the basement team to a team that wants a challenge.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. No, look, I wouldn't be shocked at all to see those players.
How have you seen from the sidelines, any as such, the likes of O'Driscoll?
He's got good pedigree at Bowes as well, you know. His dad was Mo Driscoll.
That's true,
Super Mo.
I think he seems decent, yeah. I've heard rumours of him getting a move now, other teams in the division, but I don't think Bowes really need a centre-half at the moment, maybe.
Well, you never know. I think one of our centre-halves keeps having a brain fart and... Well, the less said about James Quinty's brain first, the better. But we'll move on to our guests now anyway, Dini.
As we always do with our guests when they come in. Now, you've had more comebacks than Henrik Larsson for Sweden. Three spells with the big club. I suppose you better go back to the very start and the first one. You're part of Aaron Callaghan's Magic 2012 team.
That's right, I got a phone call off Aaron and he asked me to come up, and I just remember it being a bit crazy, to be honest. I think there was 30-40 lads up training. Like, I don't know, it was a tough job for Aaron. He had a shit budget and you know, only a couple of weeks.
Dave Scully's trying to kick a football.
Dave Scully, yeah.
I mean, you Scully, young John O'Connor, if I remember, was the striker. Yeah, young Bondi fella.
Davy Byrne.
Davy Byrne, yeah, yeah. And of course, our number one striker that year, Evan McMillan. Yeah. Did he get more goals than you that year?
Jeez, I couldn't tell you. I have no idea. But I remember he scored a cracker, all right.
In 2013, then obviously, look, we had a great year, 2012. 13, you went to UCD at the Bows. I heard you were afraid about competing with stars like Dara Hanafy, Kevin O'Leary, Dave Scully, and a very, very young and slender Chris Lyons for a spot up top.
I don't know. Who's Kevin O'Leary?
That's what I was looking at. Transfer market earlier. Apparently, he did play for us up front.
Yeah, Ireland, he just didn't want me back. He signed, if you mentioned there, and yeah. it was a bit heartbroken.
Really?
I was a bit disappointed. But I went to UCD, that went shy.
We ask you now, one of your ex-teammates told Zasha, how did your spell end at UCD?
How did my spell end?
Yeah, it might have been involved in cans or something like that.
No, I don't remember this, no.
Well, Oscar Brennan said you got fucked out for gargling too much.
No, I remember I just texted on here. He's saying, any chance, or he's looking for a striker, what's the crack? And he got in touch and managed to get the deal.
I suppose anyone want to drink themselves to death going to fucking UCD playing for them all the time. As you said, you came back to us in 2013. You came back to us in that summer alongside Anton Murphy. It was pretty much a kind of rescue mission to get us out of the doldrums, and you had a very big role in keeping us up that year. And obviously 2014 comes, we're in charge of Don Heary. Probably not a great year as well, by all things. I consider it better than the last 2 years, though. But 2015, you made the move to Sligo.
Yeah.
You followed on here.
Yeah, well, it was just
bigger,
full-time. And
bigger and better things, you call it.
No, I think I quadrupled my wage, literally. Like, so, you know what I mean?
Like 50 quid to 150.
That'd be a triple. But
I think Balls are still paying 200 quid in a day out with Tommy Hines. That's all you get.
It was hard to turn down. So
you took yourself wearing... Kevin Devaney, Wardy was out there as well.
Yeah, we had a good team there on paper. But
I think you got 16. You were top goal scorer. I got 16 goals
that season. Yeah, so we're doing okay. But I think we only stayed up on the second last day of the season or something.
No way, was it?
Yeah, out in Pats actually. Got two. I actually came on and scored two. I was dropped because I was caught playing guard a week before.
that was for Sligo.
Yeah, I was in the paper and it was actually Ollie Cahill was on the opposition.
Was he?
So I was never really going to get away with it, was I? It was Mickey Adams and Alan Rogers. They dragged me into the office. What the fuck are you doing? So I was dropped.
Mickey Adams team. I remember listening to that Under the Cosh story about the young French fellow who said it was...
Yeah.
Well, was that the team that you
were
in?
That was the team. That was there, yeah. I remember it, yeah.
That was where we pretty much got the idea for this podcast was, well, it was around the coffee table at 4 a.m, but we were also listening to Under the Cosh quite a lot. I know that was the Mickey Adams episode was the one I was listening to about...
Alan Rogers.
Were you in on the joke?
I hadn't a clue. We were doing crossland finishing, so Rustler had run down from the top of the pitch where the strikers were.
Yeah.
Man, I think it was Anthony Elding and Martin Nielsen, the Danish fella. Just looking at this fella, and we were like, what's going on here? Balaclava and a big fake gun, and he ran down the pitch. Where's Pat? Elds was gone. Gavin Pearce was gone. They're all jumping the walls. And no one knew about this. And he's up to your man, had a gun to his head. I thought he was going to shoot him. Switched off the balaclava. Some laughing. I think someone got it on video as well. It was great.
Really,
great.
Yeah. What was his name again? What was the French fella's name?
Patrick Nzuzi.
Patrick Nzuzi, I think he played for Limerick as well. I was going to say, Anthony Elding was at Sligo with you.
Yeah,
he only
joined, I think, halfway through the season. Yeah, he was a big unit, yeah.
Did he actually do much in the league? I can't really remember.
He had one great season, then it was gone, and he came back to Sligo at some stage as well.
Yeah.
But I think he was kind of...
Yeah, he started off very well with them, and I think he got the winner in the cup final, maybe, so he's a bit of a legend down there.
They've always had a couple of like standout strikers up front, like Faz Kadozovic and Matthew Blinkhorn. There's always kind of big standout guys up there.
Yeah, yeah.
In the following season, then, you moved to Pats, across the road from us as such. How did you find your time there?
To be honest, I didn't play much at all that season, and we had a bad dressing room. There was no crack there really. There was clicks in the dressing room, and Liam Buckley just seemed to have something against me. I think I started two league games that year, and just wasn't enjoyable at all. I was actually considering retiring after that year. I was that down about it.
Really?
It was really bad. Yeah. So, yeah, that was a year to forget, all right, yeah.
Thank God you didn't retire, because you signed for us in 2017. And I think you started the season with a goal. But you got injured that. You got injured shortly after that. We lost 4-1 to Derry first game of the season.
That's right,
scored. And you got injured after that. And we had to struggle on with, dare I say it, Kaleem Simon up front and young Jamie Doyle. I think Akinadi was waiting on a surgery.
Transfer out of the country. Good morning, Vietnam.
Well, the less said about that, the better. He was right on it. Well, he was injured as well, but it took a while for you to come back, and you were kind of in and out with injury. What I remember was your game back was against Bray away,
right?
Where you scored two goals and got torn.
Yeah, I remember it. I don't remember the injury now, but yeah, I was in and out of injury for the 17 and 18. I think
18, you hit a really good grain of form though.
Yeah, 18.
We're scoring goals for fun that year as well.
Yeah,
especially
enjoyed the
cup run in 2018. I think that's where a lot of us kind of get our goggles on as well when it comes to wanting a bit of silverware. Like, that really kind of got a lot of us inspired to say, right, fuck it, we're not a small team anymore.
Was this the Cork one, was it?
Yeah. Even the whole run, that run gets us all inspired to say, fuck it, we're not a small team anymore. Let's fucking win something.
You've got to pick point moments. You could probably nearly start at the Derry game up there. Suppose as a player, what was it like to live through? You scored a goal that night.
Yeah, the quarterfinal. It's one of my favourite Bowls games, to be honest with you.
Really, yeah.
Because I think we'd only played them 3 days beforehand in the league, or a couple of days.
We played them the week before. Beat them up there, yeah.
And I remember thinking, jeez, I hope we didn't fucking win this one and then lose the cup, you know, because it's hard to win up there. So
you rarely do back-to-back wins
exactly,
there. Nobody does back-to-back
wins
there.
It's hard to beat a team twice consecutively as well.
And that was a good dirty team as well. Mm. So, we went up and battered them in the cup as well. Yeah. I just remember it being a great game, yeah.
There's about 300 of us went up on a Wednesday night. No excuses. Three busloads of lads went up and we said, right, let's, you know, because we wanted the cup more than that else that year. And obviously, you did score against Cork at home, didn't you? I think it was
Kev Devaney put the ball across in. And I remember running off to the Jody. It was fucking brilliant. And then, it still angers me now thinking about that game.
Mm.
Don't think it was a penalty. I know.
There's a picture of me holding Dara Leite after the goal. I should have fucking held on for a bit longer. I should have held on for the next 25 minutes.
I think we would have went on to win it had we got through that tie there.
Definitely. Yeah. I think I had our name on it. I mean, I remember being in the stand after crying my eyes out, saying we're going to Cork and we're going to beat Cork. And I knew in the back of my head, not a fucking chance.
I said,
oh, you want to fill a bus so we can make a few quid? Never mind beating Cork.
And you did. You had about 70 people in a 50 seater.
I'm not ashamed with you, right?
Ashamed, right, Dinny? We were going out to Cork on the Monday night, and obviously, there's fucking 700 Bowls fans going out on the Monday. And I was in a car, I think Shawsy was driving, nearly killed us on the way. That's actually another story I have for you for later on. We were driving down and we were just overtaking this bus just as we're coming into Cork. I literally see half a bus just naked, man. I thought it was an orgy at the start. And there's literally people like stuck to the ceiling, their faces pressed against the window. There's no air, everyone's half naked because they're all sweating. And I just look up and I see Whelan countless money at the front.
Oh, stop. But yeah, look, I mean, we thought we would have won that. Now, you do know that they tapped up Dan Casey and what's his name, Dan O'Kelly, John Caulfield had tapped them up the week of that game.
Oh, really?
Now, they both happened to be suspended, he tapped them up because obviously they were in the last couple of months of their contract, so that probably really unsettled
them. I didn't know about that, to be honest.
Remember, but 2019 obviously was a real, I think it was, this was the year that things really started to turn around for Bowes. This is where we said, right, fuck it, we're a big club again. You had a really good start to the season. I think you got 7 goals. You missed the penalty against Pats. And then you did that injury. And I remember sitting in a bar in Barcelona, myself, Fingus, Rowe, Gav, Glenn. We were watching that on the stream and we were about 3 minutes behind. And obviously we got the first was the bollocks, 1-0, Romeo Parks or something like that. Yes, Conor Livingston scores. And then it was, we got another bollocks, shit, Dinny's gone down.
Well, I think it finished nil all that day, so I think it must be getting that.
We lost 2-1.
That's only 18 minutes into the match.
Sorry, you were injured first again.
Right.
We lost, we did lose 2-1. It was Romeo Parks got the winner. I was watching it earlier. But What was that like? That was a really bad injury.
That was really bad.
I think their centre half went off injured as well that game. Was your man Dante Leverock?
Dante, yeah, it was 18 minutes added on. Like you said, I scored 7. I think it was only 13 or 14 games into the season, so it was May. And then as soon as it happened, I heard the kind of crack. Knew it was bad, so it wasn't that sore now, but I just knew it was a bad one. And then I remember all the medical staff around me in the port of cabin in Daily Mount. And then obviously your man got knocked out. They all scarred, but he's left on me own there with a voice on me like, what's
your man from the St. John's Ambulance looking after you?
What did you do again? It was a broken fibula, I think. Just, I don't know, it was my foot or my leg. To be honest, I didn't ask many questions about it. I just wanted to know how long I was going to be out for. It was a bad one. Luckily, I didn't need surgery. You know, it was a clean break and stuff. Disastrous on bad time because I was 30 at the time as well, you know. And I think the top scorer that year finished on 13 or 14 goals.
There's not many top scorers. I think it was like Pat Holman got 13 or something.
Junior got a hat trick on the last day to nick it, but I feel I could have got it then if I had to stay fit that year. And then
young Swanee had to deputise for you after that, and he got a run of games before we signed a player who was well revered as well, and that was Andre Wright. When you were injured and you seen him come into the team, did you think, geez, this guy looks the bee's knees at the time? Or was he a player you said, geez, you know what, when I get back to full fitness, I'm going to take over again?
To be honest, I can't really remember. I was more just worried about my injury and getting back. But I'd heard he'd been at West Brom, and I think he started kind of slow, didn't he?
He didn't look any great shakes at the start.
He looked very lethargic. Mind you, not that he fucking moved much of a leg after. Thank folk for those GPS things probably got in.
I think he gets a shock every time he doesn't go goes over a kilometre.
You could tell he was decent. He had good feet and size. Obviously, he was good hold up. And it turned out to be a good sign as well.
Absolutely. He was a good player. And obviously, 2020 comes along and you're back fit. You were scoring a couple of goals in pre-season, and obviously Andre started the first game of the season.
Well, you're not meant to start, and Andre got injured.
It was actually the warm. It was the night before in training, and at the very end of training, I just took a shot and felt a little tweak in my groin, and thinking, shit, didn't know it was going to be that bad now. But I said, it was Rovers, wasn't it? I can get through this, like, and then worry about it. But I just couldn't. I was trying to do the warm up, and I couldn't run. It was too sore. So, yeah, Andre got in then, and obviously, he'd done well, so I couldn't really get back. Yeah, he took his chance. Yeah, so
I suppose it was a curtail disaster. It was a curtail season as well. I think what was it? Only 18 games all in. So he played every game. Probably towards the end of that year, didn't he? And as I said to you earlier, young Evan Ferguson came on ahead of you. Did that kind of seem like that's probably the end now? At your time at Bowes, is that kind of? Was that the curtain, or was it, or did you kind of have in your mind, look, I think I'm going to move on now, seeing as Andre's top dog there?
I probably knew, because I would have been 31 at that stage, and Andre was doing well.
Yeah,
I just thought to myself at that stage, I need to play wherever I am next season. I have to play. But I remember he brought Evan Ferguson on ahead of me, and then he named him on the bench in the semi-final against Dundalk. Ahead of me, I wasn't even in the squad, so I was kind of the icing on the cake. Yeah, I kind of knew that my time was up then, and yeah, it was quite sad.
Yourself and Longart, you didn't leave exactly on great terms, but he did kind of, remember a few weeks later, he was kind of on to you, say, look, I'm sorry about that one.
No, we didn't leave on bad terms. I just think he kind of lost trust in me. The one that pissed me off was Europe. I mean, Dre was off his feet and coming towards the end of extra time, and he didn't take a pen on the end. And I just felt like I'd done well in the previous years to get us kind of Europe. I was kind of a big part of that. So I just wanted to say, like, I played with Bowes in Europe, but I can't say that. So that pissed me off a bit.
I think that other bleeding pucks over at Tally, he came on as well. You know, well, he wasn't a favourite at the time either.
And I remember he was refusing to warm up that day and all, you know, and I was itching to get on, and he's like kind of not arsed about it, and he gets on, and I'm sitting there like a tick. So I was very, very angry at that, I have to say. But no, we didn't leave on bad terms, me and Keith. I just thought he lost a bit of trust in me after what I'd done the previous years and stuff. But no, I met him a few weeks later out in Malahide, and we had a good chat, and so I still like Keith. I still get on with him, so there's no bad feelings there.
And throughout that season, we sort of touching it there, you just came back from COVID. Like, the squad obviously had no fans to get behind you and stuff like that. I think after Europe, I don't think the results were overly too well. I think we sort of
lost two games in the spin.
Then we lost to Finn Harps at home, which was really unexpected. I suppose Mandrew was in the squad, but you know, we have heard that there was a, he's probably nearly sort of toxic around the team towards the end of the season, was he?
Yeah, he was. He's probably going like to hear this. I like Danny. I like him. Yeah. He's a good lad. But he got on my nerves at that time. I remember, like, if he wasn't in the squad, he'd go home and all. You know, he wouldn't even stay around watching the match. He was just kind of moping around the place. And I know he's probably thinking to himself he should have been playing, but you don't do that. You don't act like that. You know what I mean? He's only a young lad, so he was a bit toxic around the dressing room. But I think everyone knew he was kind of finished at that time. Finished. Him and Keith didn't see.
I think obviously what happened was a big fuck up beyond belief, but there was sort of maybe trying to massage his ego was such that didn't really come to fruition, because I know we heard that his agent might have contacted Stephen Bradley to try to get on him. Obviously we might not hear much about it, but it was like that sort of, after that happened, that's it, the writing was on the wall really.
Yeah, I think Keith and Trev knew how good he was. They tried with him a few times, tried to get the best out of him, but His head
was elsewhere.
Unfortunately. Yeah, and then it just went downhill.
I suppose, though, you know, in a good perspective for another player, I suppose, you know, Mandrew was out of the team and he was back in the team, was Keith Ward. You know, someone that you've got such a good relationship with, someone that you would probably love playing alongside. I think Dinny and Ward.
The man who didn't text you back.
Didn't text you back. No.
Good.
You see, you probably spared you a few blushes here tonight. But your relationship with Keith Ward, you know, you two guys, as far as I'm concerned, the last couple of years, is the number nine in the number.
It was like that came out and Bray scored 4 goals. I think Wardy set up every single one. It was like Lennon and McCarthy emotionally.
Yeah, he set up 3 and Buck got the other one. But I loved playing with Wardy. He's what a number 10 should be. He got the ball and he looked for a centre forward. And I can understand how fans get frustrated with him. Like, he tries a killer pass maybe too much times, but as a striker, I love that, you know, because one will get through, you know. But I built up a great relationship with Wardy on the pitch and off the pitch. And great years. I loved playing with him, yeah.
That's good stuff. Yeah. He told us he absolutely loved Dutch Gold.
I did. I used it, to be fair. Yeah. No, I haven't drank in a long time.
And what about Derek Pender's influence on the team, everything like that? You know, was he a super player to be around? You know, do you think it was great that he was still around the team now? You know,
definitely, yeah. That was massive for the team, the club. That was brilliant. He was the leader. He looked out for the lads. If there was ever a problem with anyone, Detz would look after. He'd go and say to Keith. He'd always take the player's side. And on top of that, I think it's overlooked of how good a player he was.
He was absolutely
brilliant player.
So he dragged us over the line in 2019. Remember, he scored the goal against Cork, albeit Tadhg Ryan fell into
clearing
the goal.
Off the line. Off the line.
He also said, you're a miserable prick with money.
Who?
That's a...
If I had his money, I'd be doing well.
He said, when we're having our one-up top Christmas night, we said, make sure Dini gets the fourth round in, because you won't see him getting up again.
He'd do a Houdini.
That's shocking. I'm not like that. That's disappointing in Detzer for that now. That's not true. My boy Detzer a point at Christmas.
We touched on it earlier there, just kind of balls aside, that you actually trained with Dublin GA, and obviously yourself and Supple kind of had free rein to play Fingallions and Bridget's respectively. But
not Fingallions, no.
Was it Fingallions? St.
Pat's,
is it? Sorry,
Fingallions were the rivals.
My mistake. Sorry. So just bows aside, you know, we heard that you were training with Dublin GA.
I'm not editing that out, so you can go off. I'm so lazy these days. Yeah. No, I'm just making a show of you, man.
What was it like training with Dublin?
I think it was minors. I was mixing it with the football. Yeah. So to be honest, I can't really remember much of it. I think I was only up for a few weeks, played a few friendlies, and then I was actually cup before the championship started. So yeah, it was a good experience, you know, playing with the best players in the county at that age.
But your head was always football.
Always soccer, I played Gaelic when I could, but no, soccer always a priority.
Brilliant. Just I have a few questions here before Jordo asks you some of the big ones.
Yeah.
What's the favourite game you played in for Bowes?
Obviously, all the derby wins were great against Rovers. I think we went 8 or 9 unbeaten.
You actually made a bit of a habit against scoring against them.
I don't know how many. I think 3 of them were winners, though, winning goals. So they were great. I remember them. But the one we mentioned earlier, Derry away, that always sticks out to me. I think, obviously, the crowd, I don't know, it was brilliant. Derry, a tough place to go. Played them off the park,
exactly,
and I think it was one of my better personal performances. I think everything just went for me that night. I think I scored 2.
You did get 2 that night. I think Dan Casey got the first, and then you.
That's right. Yeah, he did. And so that one sticks out as well. But yeah, I'd say them.
Brilliant. What's your favourite goal you scored?
again, probably the couple of winners against Rovers are always great.
They were all inside the box as well. Yeah, I don't remember you scoring anything outside the box.
I don't remember you putting a pen out other than to the right of you.
I think keepers started to cop onto it.
I think so. We copped onto it.
Everyone knew that pen out in Pats in 2019. He's gone right. Brendan Clark, yeah. I know where you're going. Oh,
man has done the same when you scored the rebound as against
him. That's right.
I know where this is going. Man's going to die
because it was actually the same season I scored earlier against him, a pen out. So I was like, he's going to know where I'm going here, but I can't. Luckily I got the rebound, but against Drogheda, I scored one down in Drogheda from about 35 yards. I don't know if you remember. Wardy got a hat-trick that day, and I got a most uncharacteristic dinghy goal ever, like, outside the box, but Jesus, a cracker. I just hit it and it went in the
that's
top
right, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, so I liked that as well. Yeah.
Who was the toughest defender you came up against in the league?
That's a good question. I'd say two spring to mind. Kenny Brown. Big physical, good defender. You know,
he had a bigger belly than you, Jordan.
And the other one, God love him, Ryan McBride. Tough player. Yeah. You always know you're in a match with him. A few bunts and brills the next day. Yeah, good defender.
Brilliant. And my last question, Dinny, is if you could play alongside any striker up front, who would it be? If you were playing a 4-4-2. Anyone at all, you could play alongside them on the pitch.
Oh,
I think we played 4-4-2, I think we played 4-4-2 for three games. One was out in Tala, we bet them, you and Akinadi were playing 4-4-2.
Yeah.
We tried again for the following 2 weeks and we were fucking brutal.
Yeah.
Absolutely dog shit. And then I think Akinadi ended up being fucked out onto the right wing.
I think playing two up front with Keith Long is a distant memory, to be fair.
Hence one up top.
I'll go for being a Chelsea fan. I'll go for Diogo Costa.
I thought you were going to say Didier Drogba there.
Costa, he'd do the dirty work.
You can just mope around at the edge of the box.
Look, we're normally going to a couple of questions, but suppose you just sort of touched on Rovers games there. From a player's point of view, what was it like, you know, stepping up in those situations for penalties, scoring, and then what's the mood like compared to, say, other games and such?
Yeah, it was very nerve-wracking, to be honest, especially taking the penalty against them. Like, I don't know if you heard, they were shining the lasers in my eyes once and all that. So, yeah, it's very nerve-wracking. But when you do score and then it turns out to be, like, a winner, it's just brilliant, you know? Like, you can sense it from the fans, how much it means to them, and the whole dressing room after. It's just great, you know? But, yeah, very fond memories. I'm losing my words here because I'm thinking about them. great days. The whole build-up for the week, there's that extra bit of pressure, you know. Yeah. It's a bit tense and stuff. They were never enjoyable games, I have to say, till the final whistle went, you know.
We were chatting to Supps a few weeks ago and he said, look, it was radio silence that week. He said it was just totally, the week of the derby games, just nobody talked to the papers.
Yeah,
ignore every interview.
We came to that agreement, no media work, because you know, Rovers are very fond of that. Yeah. They speak lots of these.
There was similar, same thing happened a few weeks ago in the cup game. They went to all players, they decided to send to the media. It was Dan and Andrew. And you're like, what are you? Honest to God.
Everything he said backfired.
Like, you literally, like, I wouldn't mind. Bradley is also an idiot when it comes to the media. Like, I think he's the great equaliser.
Yeah.
I think Rovers had the league wrapped up by June if he wasn't in charge. I think he's a complete fraud, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah.
And, you know, when he comes out to meet after games, you know, even I've seen they played Sligo at the start of the season and he came out and said, I played them off the park without the chance. Oh, he watched the whole match and they didn't have one chance.
Yeah.
It's like, what game are you actually watching? It's the sort of the egotistic Sean McRovers that you think of. They sent Mandrew out and he does this mental interview where basically has a sort of a pop of balls as he goes, how great Rovers is, blah, blah, blah. That's team talk for balls going into that derby.
Yeah.
Dinny, so just a couple of questions then before we wrap up.
Yeah.
What's your five-a-side team? Of anyone you played with in balls?
Right.
It could be anyone you played with at all, to be fair.
It'll probably be mostly balls anyway, to be honest. In goals, it's an easy one. Supple, Shane Supple.
Yeah.
Now Jimmy T getting left out.
Yeah, Jimmy T. Now he was in Magerson's one now.
I thought it was brilliant, obviously, but I just think Supple's a bit better, to be honest. So I just remember, he's in training, you'd be doing well to score on him. He's one of them, you're just thinking, I can't score on this fella. Like, he's just so good.
I remember it was, when a player runs one-on-one with Supple, you're kind of expecting him to save it.
Yeah, he made himself.
You were running in on goal, we'd expect you to score it. And when people are running in goal against Supple, you're like, he's going to save it. I'm not too overly worried.
Supple was very, very good coming out and sliding for the ball. I mean, that
he was brave,
good at that goal head first. You know?
Great shot, Supple. I just saw him to score on the training. It used to frustrate me. Another thing he was great at was in the five sides. He'd score a goal, and you know when you score, you keep it.
Yeah.
He'd have a ball ready and launch it. Back. Swear, he'd score 3 goals in 5 seconds. Brilliant. No other keeper's done that. But yeah, Supple was unbelievable. Yeah.
So who's your three? And obviously yourself up front. So who's the,
right,
who's
the three front, behind so, you? You've got to have Detzer in there.
Yeah.
For playing reasons and leadership reasons.
Yeah, absolutely.
He bossed the lads, but Detzer was brilliant. Yeah, he'd have to be in. Then I'll go with Bucco. You have to have Bucco in there.
Bucco gets in there.
Another underrated footballer. He's more known for his kind of dogged work.
The play was really evident on Saturday. He wasn't on the pitch.
Yeah, really. Absolutely. Yeah.
Really was really so evident. Everyone just sort of weren't up to their usual standards. There's nobody sort of barking, demanding everything being done. And so, you know, when we talked about a few weeks ago, you particularly said, I think it's time to give Levo a shot. Geez, watching that game on Saturday, it's like we are missing that leader.
I thought Levo had a pretty decent game as well.
But he's not
the same intensity,
It's a funny story about Bucco, actually, just we were over in Hamburg at the end of the season,
we all seen the videos.
We heard a few things about this, so we're going on podcast.
This one's not too bad. It just shows what type of person Bucco is. Like, we were in the pub on the second day, hung over to bits and whatever, drinking again. And myself and Detzer and Wardy were chatting away. And I think Detzer had retired, did he? Or he announced his retirement. Yeah. So we couldn't hear saying, talking about Bucco going to be the captain, you know, and won't be a bother to him, he'd be great for it. We were in the pub singing away, everyone's singing, and another group of lads came in, I don't know where they're from, but they started singing as well, and they were a bit louder than us. And just when we were talking about Bucco, we look at him, and he's like this, looking at the other lads, and he's like, they're singing louder than us. Come on, lads. Everyone louder. Start getting everyone to sing louder. Look at competition, getting tick about it. So just showed his leadership and how competitive he is. Great footballer as well.
Just on leaders as well, another person who hasn't texted me back, Dave Mulcahy.
Oh, Mullers, yeah. Was he part of the 2012 squad, yeah?
Yeah, he was.
Would have been 2014.
No, he left 14, came back in 15.
Yeah.
Mullers was a great leader. Brilliant for the young lads. You just play him a 2-yard pass, he's brilliant, you know, he'd make you feel like the best player in the world.
Privileged to have him and Detzer in the same squad as well. You might not have really appreciated
him at the same time.
Too many you go to war for and too many you go to war with.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, couldn't agree more.
Who's your last man in there?
Obviously Wardy.
It's got Wardy,
It's very repetitive, isn't it?
Yeah,
no surprises there. Wardy, you'd have to have him in there. But if you have Wardy in there, you have to have Detzer in there to give him the kick up the air.
Another man who gets a zap when he doesn't go over.
I think that'd be my team now.
Brilliant.
And then look, I said you're a bit of a Dutch gold enthusiast. If you had to sit
down, he's calling you a dip, so
if you sit down and have a few cans of Dutch for any player dead or alive, no language barrier, who would it be?
I'd love to pick Messi. Messi's my idol, my hero, but I don't think he'd be much crack, to be honest. Would he?
No, he wouldn't. No.
But
that's a strange one, that Messi's your idol and hero, because we would have thought, you know, because you're a striker, you know.
I think he's just a league above everyone, isn't he? Watching him is just.
Well, that's a nice change because people have, the three last weeks, people have said fucking Ronaldo, and Ronaldo's leaving drink.
No, but George Best.
George Best,
I'd say he'd be a bit of crack and show you a good night.
So you're interested in having strippers and escorts in the bedroom, is it?
Well, I didn't say that.
At least you can say Maradona be getting drug tested tomorrow.
Brilliant. Dini, thank you very much for coming in this evening.
Is there anything, other stories you want to throw in?
not that I can say on the podcast, no.
We had asked Bucco as well, he goes, we can hang Dini, but it's not suitable for podcasts.
Brilliant. Dini, thank you very much for coming in this evening to our makeshift studio here, for giving us a good rundown of your time at Bowes and a few bits in the background that people probably never heard about. We've got two massive games coming up now. We've got Dundalk at home, we're playing Rovers away. Now, we're not getting any tickets for Rovers, apparently. So, that's going to be a very tough one. Now, the Dundalk game, we were beaten up there a couple of weeks ago. How do you see those two going, Jordan? Do you think, what are we thinking? 4 points, maybe? We need six.
I'm not predicting fucking anything.
We need six, to be honest.
I predicted 12 out of 12 or 10 out of 12 the last year.
And we've been terribly wrong the last few weeks.
Terribly wrong. That's why we don't gamble anymore either.
Goes back in the piggy bank.
Yeah, as I said, I hope there's a bit of a kick up the arse after that first half performance. Yeah. Second was a lot better, but we shouldn't need to go a goal down to kickstart our fucking game. Dundalk on the Friday. I think we're going to go to Dundalk and I think we're going to win.
I think we'll beat Dundalk.
I think we'll beat Dundalk.
And hopefully we're going to bounce into
Rovers.
And
I think we're going to play a second team against Rovers. I think we're going to fight like fuck against them.
Yeah. It's going to be out there, there's going to be probably no fans. It's going to be 4,000 Rovers in there at least, so it's going to be very difficult to get at out there without any of our own back in there as well. So I'm really not expecting much away, Rovers away. I do expect to beat Dundalk at home. I know we lost it there, but you know what?
What's a Rovers away like, Dinny? Bowles normally do bring a large contingent, like 1,000 fans normally.
Yeah.
Does it feel like an away game, or obviously it's different familiarity, it's not the Aidan Mill.
Yeah.
But crowd wise?
You don't really pay attention to the crowd much, really. Like during the game, you're just trying to focus on it, obviously. So, yeah, I don't really know, but great games. Like, in fairness, it's a great stadium and it's a great pitch.
Great
days over in Tally, yeah.
We used to get fucked into that poxy corner.
Yeah,
and we used to hate it because everyone was just like that. And then you have whiplash looking at stuff.
The view from the other stand. And
then we walk into the east stand, we walk in, holy Jesus.
But look, hopefully we get a couple of points off those games. Now, hopefully we've got a full squad to choose from. Obviously, Stephen Mallon aside, write that fella over this day. You must be laughing your head off thinking, look, there's somebody more injury prone than me.
Well, Christian was on last week.
The poor fella's made of glass. He goes for a scan every fucking second week. you guys, I think you're playing Longford yourselves next Friday.
Big one for us now. I think it's getting very tight down the bottom. It's a bit of a relegation scrap there. So, every game's huge now, and Longford at home is the ones you need to be winning.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you might get a game.
You're looking at the table where Drogheda are, you're sort of drifting in between, you're looking at second bottom. Are you looking at fourth?
He's on 37 points as well.
One win can put you right up there, you know. So
our game in hand is against Rovers away. I mean, like, you know, we're nearly writing that off at this stage, you know, like,
with the cup match on the Friday.
Exactly, all eyes on the cup.
Start of the season was kind of avoid relegation, so I think we'd be happy to just mid table, really.
Yeah, brilliant.
See what happens.
And what does the future hold for Dinny Corkin then? Is there coaching in you, or?
I don't know. I haven't really thought about that yet. I need to get back playing. I've gone since that leg break in Sligo. I think I haven't started three games in a row. Like,
so injured the start of the season as well, though.
I was kind of playing through the injury, and then I said I need to kind of get it right. So I missed about probably 8 weeks or something like that. Yeah, so been a disastrous few years. So the future, I just want to be playing again. I don't know whether it's going to be League of Ireland. I can't afford to be sitting on the bench for another year. It's not good for the head, and
no.
I just need to be playing. So I'll see what happens. I feel like I've a lot to give still. I feel fit and I feel good. So see what happens. Yeah.
Sort of a question that just a bit you talk about. I suppose you talk to a lot of Leinster senior league players to tell you they could play fucking Europa League football. But would you think about First Division or Leinster senior league?
Well, 100%. Yeah, I'd keep the options open and see what happens. Like, I mean, like I said, I wouldn't join a Premier Division club if I'm going to be sitting on the bench again for a year. I'd rather play First Division week in, week out. Yeah, definitely.
I've no doubt that Mario Dolan is probably listening to this, and he'll probably give you a call in the morning now, because he seemed to ring Christian Magerson as soon as he was finished with us.
Brilliant. And there's no future on Eggheads then, no?
I'll be going back to Countdown.
Back on the vengeance.
Avenge me last, Brilliant.
Brilliant, mate, Danny. That's absolutely brilliant. Have you got any shout outs? Anyone, friends, family, teammates?
I don't think so. I just wish Bowers the best luck in the cup. I hope they want to win it now. It's a great opportunity for them.
Brilliant.
So hopefully they can do that.
Actually, we just did a quick round up scores. Dundalk, Jamie, what's score?
I think Bowers will be Dundalk 2-1, and we're gonna go to Tala and win 1-0.
I said that win 1-0
very, very quietly.
I predicted 3-0 against Finn Harps, so I've never predicted anything over 1-0 ever again. And Dini, what's yours?
For which game? Dundalk.
Dundalk.
They're kind of finding their feet a bit now, aren't they?
It's going to be a tough one.
That'll be a tough one down there as well. I'll go for...
You can't come on the Bowls podcast.
2-1 Bowls.
2-1 Bowls. And what about
Rovers? Sneak a 1-0.
Come on. That's brilliant. That's brilliant. We want to thank the sponsors as always: Grand Cru Beers, Vault Fashions, and New Age Barbers. And that's it, lads.
Yeah, and look, suppose, Dinny, you had a bit of a clap down there on do Dinny Corcoran. We were fucking 3-0 down, so there's a few people not happy that we done it.
I know. Yeah, no, honestly, that felt good. I mean, like you said, you were 3-0 down. I wasn't expecting it. But it was nice touch from the fans, yeah. And, we had a good relationship with the fans.
Very similar to the likes of Paddy Kirk, Danny Grant, who left in that season. and never got the reception you probably deserved.
Yeah, it was the circumstances with COVID and all, it was pretty shit, wasn't it? Like, but
did we play you again before the season's out on Dynamont?
We do.
Look, I'm sure the Balls fans will be more than happy to give you a warm welcome, whether that's on the bench or
up front. We'll be in the stands with them.
Brilliant stuff,
we'll
lads.
We'll be in that week.
Brilliant stuff. As we do every week, lads, where we wrap up. Come on, the Balls. Come on, Balls.
Because we all follow Balls wherever they play. We don't care if it's home or away. We had the Boys. And we're proud of our name, so we'll all bounce around. And-